الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Views of Madani Channel. There are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salat ala Nabi. And in one beautiful narration, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Zayyinu majalisakum bis salati alayya. That decorate your gatherings by reciting Salat upon me. Fa inna salatakum alayya nurul lakum yawm al qiyamah. Indeed, your recitation of Salat upon me will be light for you on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah we should try and decorate our gatherings as much as possible by reciting salat ala al-nabi. And as you heard, the blessings are not limited to this dunya, to this world. In fact, we will be given light in place of this recitation of salat ala al-nabi on the day of judgment. Let us make some good intentions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali." A believer's intention is better than his action. Let's make the intention that we are here in the house of Allah, and those who are viewing from home on Madani Channel are devoting time, this time right now, to learn sacred knowledge only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To please our creator, our nourisher, our sustainer, Jalla Jalaluhu. We can also make the intention that whatever we learn, we will try our utmost to remember that, to act upon it, and thereafter to convey it to others as well. Like this, whenever we have the opportunity to perform any righteous good deed, we should make good intentions in abundance, inshallah. In the bayan today, we'll hear about something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has time and time again mentioned in the noble Quran. In fact, there are many accounts in the Holy Quran which highlight the importance of this act. And that is to convey the call to righteousness. And in particular, using a very wise manner. Our approach when inviting towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be based on wisdom, hikmah. Allah Ta'ala states in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izatil hasana wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Allah Ta'ala states, call towards the path of your Lord with sound planning and good advice, and argue with them in this manner which is deemed the best. So the Quran tells us, invite to the way of your Lord, but using what? Wisdom. Using good words. Now, when we look at the Quran, we see the struggles of the Anbiya alayhim salam. We read about them, we hear about them. And we realize that it was the Anbiya alayhim salam who truly epitomized these verses of the Quran that I will be mentioning, that I have already mentioned as well. The Anbiya alayhim salam faced great difficulty in inviting towards the religion of Islam. They met a lot of stubborn people who rejected the message. They were met with resistance. People opposed them. But did this discourage them? Did this prevent them from calling towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course not. They were resolute. And one of those resolute messengers, Ulul Azm, is Sayyiduna Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. As we know about Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, there's a whole surah in the Quran attributed to him, alayhi salam. He was about 40 or 50 years of age when he announced his prophethood. And when he announced his prophethood, he preached to the people for a lengthy period. He called them towards Allah, towards Tawheed. And majority of the people, they rejected his message. Ma'adallah, they not only rejected his message, they resorted to violence against him. The scholars of Islam have written that people who rejected that message would beat Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam so violently that he would fall unconscious. And then there also came times when people actually assumed and thought that he had passed away because of the beatings. They thought he's unconscious, he's probably died. So they would take him, they would wrap his blessed body, place it in a house. But when Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam would recover from those injuries, he would leave the house. And then after that, the violence continued. It's even mentioned that this great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be strangled by the people as well. Can you imagine such a great prophet of Allah? And he's being strangled by the people. He's being oppressed by the people. But did this make him take a backward step? Did this make him think twice about this mission? No. This is why he is from the Ulul Azm, the resolute, the determined messengers. That he knew that this was a mission given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he must fulfill it in any way possible. He continued to invite. And as we know, that only around 80 people, there are varying narrations regarding the figures, but less than 100 people accepted his message. Even his own son rejected the message. And his son was drowned. What happened in the end, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, when he saw the obstinacy, when he saw the stubbornness of his nation, and how they rejected the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he prayed against them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a storm, and we know the rest of the story. The Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam built the ark, the rest of the people were destroyed. Now this prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, what we learn from his life, lived around 950 years, is varying narrations again. Imagine you're doing tabligh for hundreds and hundreds of years, and you only have about 100 followers, or even less than that. How would that make you think? But did this make Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam waver? Did his determination decrease? No. He had reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my job is to convey the message of Tawheed, this mission that I've been sent with, to convey that, and that's it. The results are left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who changes the hearts, who grants guidance. So Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, we learn from his life that during these testing periods, when you call towards the deen, you have to remain patient. Now one thing to note here before I move on and describe another prophet of Allah, a great prophet of Allah, is that we have difficulties throughout our lives. Sometimes that difficulty is related to our wealth, financial hardship. Sometimes it's related to your family members, our domestic issue. Sometimes it's a health issue. Now yes, we do become demoralized sometimes. But do we ever give up? We continue. But with the deen, we know from the beginning that you will definitely face tests when you invite towards the deen. When you invite towards the religion of Islam, you're guaranteed to face tests. And they will be more severe than any other test that you face in the dunya. Any other test that you face regarding your wealth or your health or your family. When you start preaching the deen, then you will face tests. But whose example should we keep before us when we see those tests manifest before us? We should keep the examples of the likes of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was thrown into the fire, ma'adallah. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the tribulations that he faced, we should keep these in mind. And this will inshallah increase our determination, increase our passion to spread the religion of Islam. And here, one thing to note, people think it's the job of the Mawlana. Mawlana sahab or the Imam sahab, only he has to invite towards the deen. When in fact this is wrong. Every Muslim in his own right is a preacher. Yes, we understand that an Imam or Mawlana sahab, a public speaker, he has a larger crowd that he addresses. But every Muslim is a preacher in his own right. When you're at home with your siblings or your spouse and children, you're a preacher there as well. And it's up to you to ensure that you are creating an Islamic environment. When you meet your family members, when you meet your close friends, you're a preacher. So this responsibility, we need to get this out of our mind, that this responsibility is solely the responsibility of the ulama or the khutaba. No, we are all muballighin in our own right. So those people who are subservient to us, who are under our guardianship or in our company, we have to try and preach to them using wisdom and good words. Moving on, another great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who faced great tribulations when inviting towards the religion of Islam was Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam is that prophet of Allah whose name have been mentioned the most in the Quran. The accounts related regarding Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam are the most from all of the prophets. He faced a lot of tribulations. And we know Pharaoh, Fir'aun of the time, he was a stubborn individual. Allah Ta'ala commanded Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam to go and invite him towards Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. The Quran tells us, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَا. Allah Ta'ala commanded Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam and Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salam, go to Fir'aun and use a gentle tone. Your speech should be gentle. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. He may be reminded or he may become fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the purpose. Go and do tabligh to him. Now when this great prophet of Allah, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, along with his brother Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salam, went to Fir'aun, who was in his palace, his ministers were around him, and he invited him towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did Fir'aun do? We know that Fir'aun rejected that message, and instead he said, I am God, ma'adhallah. Fir'aun himself said that, I am God, I am the Lord. Now Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam was threatened in that particular majlis, in that gathering. You'll be imprisoned if you don't believe me to be God, ma'adhallah. Musa alayhi salam countered by saying, I have many miracles to prove that I am the Prophet of Allah. And he was said, show us those miracles. You want to see those miracles. From those miracles, we know that Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam threw his staff on the ground and it turned into a giant serpent, a snake. And then he picked it up again, turned back into a staff. We also know that he placed his hand in his collar. When he took it out, his blessed hand was shining bright. Yad-e Bayda, this is what this miracle is referred to. Now, when the minister saw this, and Fir'aun obviously was observing as well, Fir'aun said to his ministers, what do you suggest? He's just shown some extraordinary feats, some miracles. What do you suggest? The minister said that we feel that he's a magician. So what to do is gather the greatest magicians of this time, of this area. We'll organize a fair and then we'll see whose magic, whose sorcery comes out on top. So a time was organized, a time was agreed, a location was organized and appointed. And there, as we know, the Quranic story tells us, the Quran tells us that many, many magicians of the time did what they could. They also made it seem like there were many snakes in the playing field. The awam, the public, were looking upon this thinking, whoa, how have they managed to create so many snakes? But in fact, this was just an illusion. This was magic. And then Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, using his mu'jiza, showing that he is the Prophet of Allah, again, through his staff, and we know that his staff turned into a gigantic snake and niggled all of the other serpents. When the magicians saw this, they had no answer to this. So they all performed sajda in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believed in the message that Musa alayhi salam came with. They accepted Islam. Now Musa alayhi salam, what trials did he not face? Even after that, Fir'aun and those who were his close associates, they rejected the message. They still said, no, we don't believe this is from Allah. Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam faced great struggle. Great struggle. But did he take a step backwards? No. Did his determination decrease? Did his passion waver? No. All we see is each time Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam is becoming more resolute, more determined. And what is his determination regarding? It's regarding revealing the haqq, the truth. Because he was a prophet of Allah who is haqq. So again we learn that when you call towards the deen, you will find difficulty. But you may remain patient. And you think all the time that as-sa'yu minni wal-itmamu min Allah. That you always think to yourself that from my side, all that's required is effort. Koshish. And the results, we leave them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's up to Allah jalla wa ala to ensure that those efforts are not wasted. And Allah ta'ala does not waste the efforts of people. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, again, a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who faced difficulties. Now again, we learn that bil khusus, in particular, when you invite towards the deen, you will face difficulties. But you also learn that generally in life as well, when you face difficulties, calamities, hardships, worries, what are you to do? Are you to wail, lament, complain, cry? No. Look at the lives of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. They didn't complain. They carried on with their mission. Steadfastness. We learn that we are to remain patient. And the strength of your iman will determine how patient you are and whether you reveal those problems. If you're revealing your problem to tens of people who can't do anything for you, those people can't better your situation, can't remove your problem, then ask yourself, is it really worth it? A person will go to one friend, oh, I've got this problem. The friend's just going to listen for 15, 20 minutes. Then he'll go to another friend, oh, I've got this problem. Allahu Akbar. A Muslim should realize that running to the people of the world will not solve your problems. Yet this is our adat, this is our habit, this is what we do. What about using that energy instead in performing worship, sajda in the court of Allah, pleading in the court of Allah and saying, Ya Allah, you are the one who has afflicted me, this is your Mashiach. And Ya Allah, you are the one who can take me out of this situation. You are all powerful. So what we do is we go to everyone else first, and then in the end, when we're about to lose hope, we turn to Allah. Which is still good if we turn to Allah. But if we did that in the beginning, it would be much better. Listen to a narration which is found in Al-Mu'jam al-Awsat. And this is in particular regarding hiding your problems, not revealing them. Today with social media, all these other platforms, it's so easy to make the whole world know about your problems. You put a sad status up, some sad emojis, oh, I've got this problem. Or you'll put a status showing that you're not happy with your life, etc. What is the purpose behind this? What is the intention? All those people across the world, are they able to automatically change your situation? Yes, this is different if you ask a pious person, a salih person, can you do dua for me so that my problem is alleviated? That's different. Now, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this is in Al-Mu'jam al-Awsat, one who is afflicted in his wealth or health, then he conceals it and does not complain to people regarding it. So it is upon Allah azza wa jal to forgive him. Meaning maghfirah is written for that person. It is upon Allah's mercy to forgive that person who hides the problems regarding his wealth and his health. But here we see the opposite. If you have a slight fever, a bit of a cold, someone asks you, how are you doing? Oh, brother, don't ask. You know, I've been afflicted with this illness. I can't even lift my head. I'm bedridden. And the other person probably thinks you've got a terminal illness or something. Again, if you ask someone to do dua for your illness, to better your state so that you recover, that's different. Oh, I think we can all understand what I'm speaking about. And then when it comes to wealth, oh, brother, ends don't meet, I can't, you know, pay this debt off and I can't do that. And again, we're not saying that people aren't genuinely suffering, they are suffering in regards to wealth and then financial hardship as well. But the solution is not in telling everybody, especially if they can't do anything about it. So here we're told in the hadith that if you hide your problems regarding your wealth and your health, it is upon the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. Now going back to the verse of the Quran I mentioned right at the beginning, ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن which is in part 14, Surah Nahl, verse 125. In the tafsir, and in particular tafsir Siratul Jinan, it says, you use three methods to call people towards Islam. Number one, with wisdom. This refers to that strong proof which makes truth apparent and removes confusion. Secondly, with good advice. This refers to encouragement and warning, i.e. encouraging someone to do something and warning someone from doing another thing. And number three, to debate with everyone in the best possible way. This means to call towards Allah Azza wa Jal with these verses and proof. What is our state when we call people towards the religion of Islam? Do we use gentleness? Do we use wisdom? A soft approach? Or is it the case that we try to enforce our views on people? If we use wisdom, we can work wonders. Whether you're at home, in the workplace, wherever you may be, if you remember that I'm a muballigh of Islam, I'm representing Islam, okay, you may not be a scholar, I'm not a scholar, I'm not an alim, but I can do my bit. If I use wisdom, a soft approach, maybe that will affect the person's heart. Listen to this account, that there was a pious saint from Khorasan, Iran, and he was ordered in a dream, present Islam to the Mongols. And it was the Mongol rule. And the son of Halaku, whose name is Tagudar, he was the king of the time, he was the ruler of the time. Now this pious saint, Rahmatullahi Ali, went to meet him, present Islam to him, to convey Islam to him. And obviously this saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abided by the sunnah, so he has the sunnah beard, following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when Tagudar saw this, he wasn't a Muslim, he felt like mocking him, mocking the saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said to him, tell me, is your beard better or the tail of my dog? Now you can imagine in a situation like that, this would make them angry, infuriated. What has he just said? He's insulted the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This beard that I'm keeping is because I'm following my Prophet, and he's comparing it to a dog's tail. Ma'adhallah. Many people would react and overreact as well. But what did this pious saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He remained patient, and his reply was full of wisdom. He said, I am also a dog of my master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I'm obedient to my Lord, Allah Azza wa Jal, then my beard is better than your dog's tail. And if I'm disobedient, then the opposite. Now when Tagudar heard this, and it was unexpected, he didn't expect him to reply in this manner. He probably thought, I'm going to enrage him, provoke him, make him angry. But the reply took him by surprise, that I am also a dog of my master. So if I am obedient to my master, if I am loyal to him, then my beard is better than your dog's tail. Now when Tagudar heard this, it took him by surprise. He said, you stay a guest with me. You remain a guest here. I will provide you with residence. So the pious saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stayed there. Tagudar would visit him. He was always busy in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He saw how this person was actually very pious. And then he became embarrassed himself, Tagudar. How could I have hurt such a person with this evil comment? So the saint of Islam inspired him to such an extent that Tagudar, Halaku's son, who was an oppressor, a tyrant up until then, an enemy of Islam, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by the individual effort carried out by the saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he embraced Islam and became a Muslim. That leader became a Muslim. Why? Because of this approach, this gentle approach of the saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we have to ponder today, maybe at home, in the workplace or wherever, someone may say something to us regarding our deen of Islam and we overreact. Yes, we should be passionate about our belief, our religion of Islam, but many a times using wisdom in a situation can prevent loss and bring about great benefit. Now this saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have reacted, but he didn't. He used beautiful words. And because of him, this tyrant ruler, who was a tyrant up until then, Tagudar embraced Islam. Imagine how many people would embrace Islam after that as well. So these are the things that we must keep in mind. If you want to preach Islam, you need to be patient. You need to bear a lot. And that's where the reward is. That's where the reward is. Now Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he mentions so beautifully. He says, a preacher of righteousness, one who invites towards goodness, should make it a habit of being patient and believe in the reward he will get from Allah Azza wa Jal for inviting towards righteousness. Whoever believes completely in the reward, he will never feel any trouble in this blessed act. So somebody who has full yaqeen, certainty that Allah will reward him for inviting towards the religion, he won't take a step back. Or the moment he faces confrontation or somebody says something that he doesn't like, he won't take a step back. Because he knows about the reward. He knows my job is to continue inviting. Now, today there's so many ways that we can invite towards good. I mentioned social media a lot, but that's because it's a massive problem today. Now, if you tell someone about the harms of social media, and you say, this is the problem with it, this is the problem with it, stay away from it for this reason or that reason, that's also inviting towards good. You're preventing people from sinning. Because majority of people are misusing social media. There is a good usage of it as well. But it's a minority of people. And you can easily gauge that by the fact that all those videos, all those accounts which are regarding righteousness, which are regarding Islam, which are regarding our beliefs, where you can gain authentic material regarding Islam, they have the least followers. And as for those pages which spread immorality, fahisha, indecency, music, all sorts of other impermissible things, they will have the greatest number of followers. And sadly, a lot of Muslims are subscribers as well. So that's one way if you were to encourage your kids to stay away from social media. In fact, recently, the school gave a letter saying that we have recently found out that a lot of youngsters in primary school are on social media and watching inappropriate material, even though the rules, the terms regarding those sites are you cannot be a member until the age of 13. A lot of these famous sites. And they said, how is this possible? This means that the parent or the elder sibling, someone has created an account and allowed the child to use it. So where we are heedless of many things, we're also heedless of this as well. Instead of telling people to stay away from social media due to its harmful effects, we're willingly giving social media accounts to our young children. And schools have realized this now, and they're sending letters home as well, saying that a lot of youngsters in primary school who are not even supposed to, we're not talking about a shari'i aspect, we're talking about the terms and conditions of those websites, those social media accounts, the legal side. They shouldn't even be on there, but they're watching it day and night, they're addicted to it. And then when the children misbehave, we think, what's going on? So there are many ways that we can invite towards the religion of Islam. Use gentleness. If you're going to use a harsh approach, you'll only further damage the situation. Use words of wisdom. Explain to children why it's bad. What habits that it may lead to. They may start adopting certain habits because of social media. Now going back to it, inviting towards the religion of Islam, I'd like to finish with this. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced the greatest level of difficulty when inviting towards Islam. We know the account of Taif, I mentioned it in one other bayan a few weeks back as well, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to invite the chiefs of the tribes there. And they rejected the message. It was a very wealthy, affluent area. They rejected the message. Not only that, ma'adhullah, they told the youth of the area to start attacking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hurling stones at him to the extent that his blessed feet, his slippers were filled with blood. Ma'adhullah. Sayyiduna Zayd bin Haritha, who was there, radiallahu anhu, he says that I would try and shield the Prophet ﷺ from those oncoming stones. I would take them on my body But they were hurled with such velocity, such force, such large amounts that even he was affected. Even the Prophet ﷺ was injured as well. Until eventually they sought refuge in an orchard. We know what happened after that. The angel appeared and said, your Lord sees what the people are doing with you. Your Lord knows what the qawm have said to you. They've rejected your message. If you want, the angel of the mountain can destroy them. And the Prophet ﷺ was well within his rights there to say, okay. But what did the Prophet ﷺ said? That they don't know me. They're doing this out of ignorance. But I have umid, I have hope that their future generations will be Muslims. They will be those who pronounce the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, look at the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that whenever you face difficulty, and this should be comfort for our hearts, solace for us. We all face difficulties, whether it's with family, wealth, health, other issues. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a hadith in Jami' al-Saghir, that whenever you face difficulty, remember my difficulty. Remember the difficulties that I had to go through. Your difficulties would automatically seem trivial because they can't compare. On the one hand, you have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who's preaching Islam and his Sahaba being tortured for saying Allah. On the other hand, we have so much ease and luxury today. Yes, we have problems in other ways, but there's so much ease as well that we have. On the one hand, you have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family members are being martyred because of Islam. On the other hand, we don't have any such thing. We are easy, alhamdulillah, it's easy for us to attend the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the one hand, you have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had to leave Makkatul Mukarramah, migrate to Madinatul Munawwarah because of the oppression. And today, alhamdulillah, Muslims are all across the globe because of the efforts of the greatest of creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his devoted Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So, in conclusion, today we discussed how the Anbiya alayhi salam, the likes of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, they faced great difficulty, trial and tribulation when inviting towards Islam. And this is a guarantee it will happen. But did they take a step backwards or were they patient, resolute, determined? Yes, they were all of what I have just said. And they continued, they were focused, and they knew the results are up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even today in our homes, in our workplaces, we are representing Islam. If we're not scholars, we shouldn't speak too much regarding Quran and Hadith. We may even end up saying something wrong. But whatever little knowledge we have, we can convey it. And if you do that every day, make it your mission, I'm going to speak to one person about Islam. Who knows, that day will come, someone might accept your message and become a Muslim. Or a Muslim might start becoming practicing. But we make very little efforts in this regard. That's why it's very important to keep the Anbiya alayhi salam in mind, how they never gave up. And in the end, look at the results. Alhamdulillah, Islam, the fastest growing religion on earth. And this is the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala enable us to follow suit and become ambassadors of Islam in our communities. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you.